You know, there's a certain kind of argument you always see online, and let's be real, at the dinner table, that feels like the nuclear option of any debate.
Oh, I think I know exactly where you're headed with this one.
You have to. It's the history weapon. We hear it all the time, right? Someone disagrees with some policy, and boom, this is literally the fall of Rome. Or we're living in 1984.
And then there's the big one.
The big one, the one that just stops all conversation. This is just like the Nazis.
Right. And it's almost always hyperbole. It's emotional shorthand. It's just a way to say, I am extremely upset, not to make, a real historical point. And usually you just roll your eyes.
Exactly. You just tune it out because it feels like hysteria. But that brings us to the really uncomfortable question we're digging into today. What if you strip away all that shouting? What happens when you take that one terrifying analogy, the U.S. government versus the Nazi regime, and you just do the math?
And we mean that literally. This is not about feelings or vibes today. We are talking about spreadsheets.
It really is. Today, we're doing a deep dive into this fascinating and honestly pretty chilling analyst report from All.net. It's written by a guy named Fred Cohen, dated January 2026.
And this is really important. Cohen is not a political pundit. He's not on cable news. He's an analyst. He's a numbers guy. He deals in data, in ratios, risk assessments.
And he actually says in the intro that he started this whole project because he wanted to prove the doomsayers wrong.
Right. That's the key. He's a bottom-up thinker. He basically said, okay, everyone is panicking about IC becoming a Gestapo. Let's run the numbers and show everyone why that's ridiculous.
So he went into this expecting the data to be what, a comfort?
Exactly. He thought the math would say, hey, calm down, America. You are nowhere near that.
But that is not what the numbers told him.
Not at all. He puts it in this very dry analyst way. He says, as I end the numbers, I am finding the concerns I have heard from others to be more serious.
Which is the professional way of saying, uh-oh.
It's a very polite, very academic way of saying, I have frightened myself.
Okay, so before we jump in, let's just set some ground rules for you, the listener. We know what year it is. The political climate is just radioactive. We are not here to take a side. Our whole mission today is just to walk through Fred Cohen's report. We're here to represent the source material. We're going to look at his numbers, his ratios, his arguments.
Precisely. We are analyzing his findings. If the math makes you uncomfortable, well, the calculator did the work, not us.
So let's get into it. To even start a comparison like ICE versus the Gestapo, you need a baseline. And I think this is where movies get us into trouble.
Oh, for sure.
When I think Gestapo, I'm picturing, Indiana Jones. I'm imagining an agent on every single street corner.
Total saturation. That's the image we all have. And that is the first myth that Cohen's report just completely dismantles. He pulls the actual historical employment records for the Gestapo. And in 1937, this is pre-war, when they were really cementing their control. They were shockingly small.
Okay, so give me the number. Ruin my movie-based history.
6,500 employees.
Wait. 6,500 for the entire country of Germany.
You're the whole nation.
I feel like my local police department might have more people. That seems impossibly small.
It does, doesn't it? Now, to be fair, that number did go up. The report notes that after Germany started annexing Austria and the Sudetenland, the headcount rose to about 20,000.
Okay, that's more.
It is, but even then, Cohen points out that only about 3,000 of those were actual officers with rank. The rest were, clerks, drivers, support staff.
That is just darkly efficient. I mean, 6,500 agents to start. How many people were they controlling? What was the population?
At the time, the German population was roughly 70 million people.
Okay, so keep that in your head, everyone. 70 million people, 6,500 agents. That's our baseline for totalitarian control. Now, let's look at the context for this report. January 2026, what does the U.S. look like?
Well, obviously much bigger. The population cited is about 343 million.
And the size of the force, because ICE has been expanding quite a bit.
And that's the trend line that really caught Cohen's eye. He points out that ICE has seen this massive surge. They've gone from around 10,000 agents to 22,000 pretty quickly.
So more than doubled. That's a significant jump.
It is. But if you just hear the raw numbers, 22,000 agents for 343 million people, it still sounds kind of small, doesn't it?
It feels like a drop in the ocean. I mean, 22,000 people wouldn't even sell out a small stadium.
And that's exactly when Cohen does his back of the envelope calculation. He looks at the percentage, the density. At their start, the Gestapo was 0.000928% of the population.
Okay, so less than 1/100 of 1%.
Tiny.
Very tiny. Now, you run the numbers for the U.S. in 2026. 22,000 agents, 343 million people. That ratio is 0.00641%.
Oh, okay. So 0.009 versus 0.006.
They're not identical, no. But they're statistically in the same ballpark.
So that's the moment for him. That's the, oh, that's it. He calls it two-thirds parity. He's saying the current density of these agents in the U.S. is about two-thirds of what the Gestapo had when they began to tighten their grip. We're not orders of magnitude away. We are hovering right below their starting line.
And that kind of kills the whole we're too big to be controlled idea, doesn't it? The ratio is what matters. Did he project out what it would take to actually match them?
He did. And this part is startling because of how achievable it seems. He calculates that ICE would only need to grow by a factor of 4.4. If they got to just under 100,000 agents, the U.S. would match the Gestapo's relative size at their peak.
100,000 agents. I mean, we think of police states as millions of soldiers in the streets,
yeah.
But 100,000, that sounds doable.
It's a big number, but it's not impossible. The report suggests it's just a bureaucratic expansion. For context, we employ more people than that in the TSA.
That really puts it in perspective.
It's not a fantasy number. It's a budget line item.
But I have to be the skeptic here, because I can hear people yelling about geography. Ratios are one thing, but Germany is the size of Montana. The U.S. is a continent. You can't control 3.8 million square miles with that ratio.
And that is the landmass challenge. It's the most obvious counterargument, and Cohen spends a lot of time on it. And you're right, the U.S. mainland is about 22 times larger than Germany. With Alaska and Hawaii, it's 28 times larger.
Exactly. So the agent-to-square-mile ratio must be terrible. You could hide forever.
That's the logical thought. But here's his rebuttal, and it's a chilling one. He argues that authoritarian control isn't about covering empty land. It's not about patrolling deserts or cornfields.
You need them where the people are.
You need them where the people are. Control is about population centers. So he calculates what he calls the U.S. metropolitan landmass, the actual footprint of the cities and suburbs where most of us live.
He shrinks the map.
He shrinks it dramatically. He puts that area at only about 1 million square miles.
So we go from 28 times bigger down to... what?
It's 7.4 times larger.
That's a huge reduction.
It is. And his conclusion is that when you look at it that way, focusing on the target-rich environments, the number of agents needed to cover that area is, and this is a direct quote, in the same ballpark as pre-WWII Germany.
So the vastness of America, our geography, it doesn't really protect us. That buffer is an illusion.
According to this analysis, yes. If you control the hubs, you control the network.
Okay, so the math, according to this report, is surprisingly tight. But here's where the analogy always breaks down for me. The Gestapo wasn't just about math. It was about a specific targeted ideology. It was about hate. Jews, Roma people, the disabled. Does the source just ignore that?
He doesn't ignore it. He reframes it. He moves from the numbers game to what he calls the distractors.
Distractors. That seems like a very dismissive word for genocide.
He doesn't mean the victims are the distractors. He means the specific group being targeted is almost a distraction from the underlying mechanism. The target might change, but the mechanism, the othering, is identical.
So instead of Jews, the label today is immigrants.
Right. But the report says immigrant is just a catch-all for the other. Cohen notes a lack of official concern for attacks on Jews, on homosexuals, on Hispanics. The point is that the label is fluid. It's just the current excuse to use the machinery of power.
And he points out some pretty sharp ironies with that definition, doesn't
he? No, he really does. He notes that unless you're an American Indian, everyone in the Americas is technically an immigrant from the last 26,000 years.
Taking the long view on that one.
But then he gets very specific. He points out that President Trump himself is the son of an immigrant, and his wife is an immigrant who, the report alleges, was here illegally at one point.
Which really highlights the hypocrisy. If it were truly about the letter of the law, the people in charge would also be under scrutiny.
Exactly. And that leads to a really critical claim in the text. Cohen asserts this proves that immigrant isn't a legal term anymore. It's a political weapon. He states that authorities are now, quote, arresting and killing people who were actually born in the U.S.
Whoa, hold on. That's a huge escalation. That suggests the net has widened far beyond legal status and into just undesirable.
It suggests the label is a tool for control, not a descriptor of fact. If you look like the other, if you act like the other, the passport in your pocket starts to matter a whole lot less.
Which brings us to the why. If it's not about immigration status, is it about crime? That's the justification we always hear. We need more agents to stop the crime wave.
The report just flatly rejects that. And again, he uses data. Cohen says the deployment of ISIS agents is inconsistent with actual crime levels. They aren't being sent to the highest crime areas.
So where are they going?
To areas with political opposition to the administration.
Oof. So using federal law enforcement to punish your political enemies.
That's the argument. And he points to the use of pardons as further evidence. The report mentions pardons for those who fought police during the efforts to keep Trump in power. The argument is that this proves the new system prioritizes political loyalty over actual law and order.
A two-tiered system. It's okay to attack police if you're on our side, but we'll crack down on you if you're not.
It's the weaponization of justice, but there's a section here I found crucial. It's titled, "It's Not About Trump." And that feels, you know, counterintuitive.
It does. We always focus on the figurehead, the strong man. The idea that if you just get rid of one person, the problem goes away.
But Cohen says that's a mistake. He says a single leader can't micromanage this. He uses a great metaphor, that the leader isn't personally directing every note the orchestra plays.
Right. You can't personally search every house.
You can't. To get to that Gestapo parody, you need a network. Cohen estimates you need a network of over 100,000 enablers.
100,000 people.
Yeah.
A stadium full of people going along with it.
And not just agents with guns. He lists Congress, the Supreme Court, state leaders, and this is the important part, tens of millions of voters.
So it's not a hostile takeover by one person. It's a system built by thousands and supported by millions. It's your neighbors, local officials, judges.
And that, he says, is the true objective. Not just to stop immigration, but to build the legal frameworks for power, to increase the number of personnel, to test techniques, and to use fear to marginalize anyone who opposes you.
They're building the machine. And once the machine is built, it doesn't really matter who the president is. It just runs.
The capacity for control is in place.
So we've gone through the ratios, the geography, the othering, the whole network. Where does Fred Cohen finally land? At the start, you said he expected to disprove this whole thing.
He did.
What's his final verdict in January 2026?
His conclusion is just stark. He writes, IC is far closer to the Gestapo than I thought when I started writing this. And the more I look, the closer they are.
He doesn't pull any punches there.
No. He cites illegal searches, illegal detentions in unknown places where detainees are dying, shootings of non-protesters. His final line is basically, the numbers add up.
The numbers add up. Wow. That's a heavy sentence.
It really is. It sort of takes all the air out of the it can't happen here argument because the math suggests, well, maybe it can.
You know, it really makes you think about how we process this stuff. We live in a world of screaming headlines, and we use history, the Nazis, Rome, as rhetorical flair.
Yeah.
We use it to exaggerate.
Right. We assume it's just a metaphor for bad guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But this deep dive leaves me with this one really sticky, provocative thought. What happens when the math, the cold, boring, back-of-the-envelope math, is actually more alarming than the rhetoric?
That's the question, isn't it? We're trained to dismiss the hyperbole. We're not trained to argue with a ratio.
If the data is shouting louder than the pundits, maybe we need to get better at listening to the numbers.
I couldn't agree more.
Well, that's all the time we have for this deep dive. A huge thank you to the work of Fred Cohen and All.net for giving us the source material. And thank you, the listener, for sticking with us through some pretty tough math.
It's been a pleasure. Keep asking questions.
We'll catch you on the next deep dive. Take care.